we're going to be for this afternoon. And I'm going to give you a thought that the Lord gave me early in the week, and hopefully be a blessing to you this afternoon. Joshua chapter number 14. If you'd like to stand and stretch your legs with us, I invite you to do that at this time. Joshua chapter number 14, and we'll begin reading in verse number 6, and read down through verse 14, and take our text and preach to you what the Lord has given to us. Joshua 14 and 6, the Bible says that the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, man of God, concerning thee, me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. What about that? Caleb's 85 years old now. Even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was then, so even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the fences and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Joshua blessed him and gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore become the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to preach again tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us and use us. God, let us say something, God, that would be an encouragement and a motivation to somebody in the congregation this afternoon. Lord, you know the need of the hour, and I pray that you'd meet it. God, if there's one among us lost, I pray for them most of all. Oh, God, that one nearest hell, I pray for them. God, that you would show them their need and save them before this service closes. We pray these things in Christ's name, and amen. You can be seated. One of the things that I love most about the Bible is that the Bible is a book of characters. I understand that the Bible is ultimately all about Jesus Christ. We know that from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the Bible is all about Jesus Christ. But the story of Christ is told through the pages of the Bible, through the stories of different men and women. I thought about this week. I learn about faith through the life of Abraham. I learn about leadership through the life of Moses. I learn about love through the story of Solomon and the Shulamite, through the story of Ruth and Boaz. I learn about courage in the life of Esther, and I learn about endurance in the life of the Apostle Paul. But there's a man in our story in chapter 14 that I think we can learn a lesson from this afternoon. The man in chapter 14 that we learned this lesson from is a man by the name of Caleb. We are all somewhat familiar with Caleb. We know that some 45 years prior to our text, Caleb was one of 12 spies that Moses sent out across the Jordan into the Canaan land to spy out the land. You remember how God brought the children of Israel by the blood of the Lamb out of the land of Egypt, and he delivered them from the hand of the enemy through the Red Sea, and they marched right up there to the border of victorious Christian living, right up there to the border of the Canaan land, And Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the land. And the scriptures say that 10 of those spies come back and they were talking about things like this. They said, "Oh my, Moses, they're like giants over there and we're like grasshoppers in their sight." They talked about grasshoppers and they talked about walled cities and they talked about defeat. But there was two men, however, that come back talking about courage and talking about promises and talking about victory. They said, "Moses, there's some giants over there, but I believe the Lord's going to let us whoop them if we go. And Moses, there's some walled cities, but I believe God's going to give us Jericho if we go over there." That old camp meeting preacher Mays Jackson used to say about that promised land. He said them two boys, Joshua and Caleb, come back from the Canaan land and said, Moses, the watermelons that's over on the Canaan land, they're as big as watermelons. Those watermelons are as big as Volkswagen Beetles over there, Moses." And he said, "The grapes are so big, you could use their skins for shower caps." Hey, I'm telling you, they come back saying it's a good land. We ought to go take it. I believe God has given it to us. You see, Caleb looked beyond the problems and he saw the promises of the Lord. Now, a lot has changed since Caleb come back and testified 45 years ago. There have been a lot of ups and downs in the wilderness. But here he stands 45 years later, and he's ready to inherit the promises of God given to him all those years ago. I thought about Caleb this week, and I thought about the man that he was, the inheritance that he was going to be given. And I think that in this 85-year-old man, we can see something that should be in the heart and life of every child of God. Here's an old man asking for a mountain and an opportunity. He has lived many years, but his life is not over, and he looks forward to moving forward to the next step in his Christian life. And as I read this text, I see that it's something that God wants from every individual, something that God wants from every Christian, and that is a positive attitude, a move forward attitude, a conquering attitude. And I want to preach tonight on this thought. I want to preach on "Call Me Caleb." Call me Caleb. I think there's some Calebs that we need to have in our churches today. I thought about this man. I thought about Caleb in chapter 14. Caleb is what we could call a senior saint. Would you allow me to say it that way? He's 85 years old. 85. And he's a senior saint. But you know what? There was some younger folks standing by that day also. And they heard what Caleb said to Joshua here in chapter 14. And I began to think about how that God, at every stage of life, wants something from you. Whether you're 85, whether you're 35, or whether you're 15, God wants something from your life. God wants you to have the right kind of mentality when it comes to this Christian service. And I think Caleb now is going to inherit the promises of God, because he had the right attitude then, and he's got the right attitude now. God's going to bless him for his faithfulness to the Lord. Let me show you three things about Caleb that I think that every child of God should have. I'll give them to you quickly, and we'll go to the fellowship house. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to see Caleb's attitude. I want you to see Caleb's attitude. In verse 11, he says, "And I am yet as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me." I want you to notice the way Caleb talks in verse 11, in verse number 12. Everything that Caleb says in verse 11 and 12 is positive. He talks about strength from God. He mentions past victories that God has allowed him to have. He even looks to the future promises and believes that God is going to give him that mountain for an inheritance. Caleb was a positive man when we read about him in chapter 14. Now, with that said, I want you to think about something with me. Caleb was a positive Christian in this chapter, although it would have been easy for Caleb to have not been a positive person in chapter number 14. Now, think about this. He's 85 years old now. He's been wandering around in a wilderness for 45 years. Caleb probably could have said something like this. You know, Moses, 45 years ago, I was ready, or Joshua, 45 years ago, I was ready to take that mountain. But Joshua, I'll be honest with you, my back hurts a lot more today than it did 45 years ago. Hey, man, can I get a witness right there? Somebody help me out. Hey, he could have said, Joshua, I don't have as much stamina as I used to. I'm 85 years old, you know, and I think what I'll do is I'm going to go over here and I'm going to let somebody else take that mountain. I'm just going to sit down and stop for a little while. He could have complained. He could have grumbled and fussed, but he didn't do that, did he? Amen. He said, I'm as strong today as I've always been. God's given me strength, and I believe God's going to keep giving me strength. He's going to bless me like he's always blessed me. He's got a positive attitude in this chapter. Can I say, if there's anything that we need in our churches today, it's some men and women with positive attitudes. Let me just go ahead and say this. The job description of negative attitude Christian, that's already got a check mark next to it. That position's already been filled. We've got plenty of those in our churches. Amen. Negative attitude Christians. We need some Calebs, some men and some women that have a good attitude about life. Amen. And Christian living. Hey, I'm telling you, we need some people that are willing to put a smile on their face when they come into church, when they go into the workplace, whatever they're doing, just be positive about that thing that they're doing. Amen. Well, I tell you, I've run across so many people that mumble and grumble all the time. I've about got to where there's some folk, I'm going to stop asking them how they're doing, because I know how they're doing. They've told me the last 6 times I've asked them how they're doing. They're not doing good. There's something wrong every time. Amen? That's exactly right. Caleb was 85 years old, and he could have said, you know, my knees are wore out, and my eyesight ain't what it used to be, and my back's hurting. But he didn't. He was just positive. You think about this. Think about the fact that Caleb was positive in spite of the generation that he grew up in. You got to remember something. He grew up around a bunch of people and lived with a bunch of people for 40 years in the wilderness that all they did was constantly doubt and constantly complain. They didn't like the food that God was providing them in the wilderness, and they didn't like the leader that God gave them, and they were too afraid to fight for the promises of God. But in spite of these critical surroundings, Caleb was positive in the face of this trial and this temptation 45 years ago, and he's still positive today. He was a positive child of God. We need some positive Christians today. You know, I think Caleb was positive because some things he remembered. Caleb was positive because some things he remembered. In verse 7, he starts reminiscing. He starts talking about how when he was a 40-year-old man, Moses sended him out to spy out that land. He starts remembering how that God had blessed him and how God had taken care of him in the past. I can see old Caleb now as his eyes maybe begin to wander off, and he begins to think about these last 45 years. He begins to think about how that every morning he woke up and there was manna and there was quail, and he's remembering how good God has been to him, and he's thinking about how that God has blessed him with family members and God has blessed him with children. And he starts remembering in verse 7 all those good things that God had done for him. You know, you say, Brother Josh, I'd like to be positive, but my circumstances won't allow me to be positive. Hey, can I say I understand that sometimes hard things come and difficult days arise, but I believe you and I can look back over our shoulder as the child of God and say, God was good to me back then and God has blessed me back then. There's no sense in me being a negative Christian today. God's been too good to me for me to be negative. Hey, when things are tight in your budget and you're struggling to get by, remember all those times that God has provided for you in the past. Remember those days when you didn't know how you would make it, but God somehow showed up. God some way showed out. And God put groceries in your refrigerator. And God kept your lights on. And God kept gas in your automobile. And things might be hard today. And you don't know how you're going to make it tomorrow. But God provided then. God's going to still provide today. Hey, remember when your kids are acting crazy or your grandkids are acting crazy and you're thinking to yourself, if this kid don't straighten up, I'm going to kill them. I don't know if I can make it another day. Y'all ain't never raised kids like I've raised kids. I know what I'm talking about. Come on, preacher, you're doing right. Hey, man. Hey, I'm telling you, sometimes you trying to raise those kids and raise them right, and it seems like all they can do is just frustrate you sometimes, but you're trying to do your best and you don't know what you're going to do. You're going to pull your hair out. Hey, I think you ought to look back over your shoulder when you held them in your arms the very first time and you knew that they were a blessing from God and you knew that they were an answered prayer and God give them to you and God entrusted them to you and God's going to let you see them saved. God's going to let you see them grow up and become good men and good women and live for God and serve God. Hey, I'm saying God's been good to us in the past. Well, I tell you what, sometimes ministry, not just as a preacher, but a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, a worker in the church, sometimes ministry seems like it's more than you can handle. But God has given us something to do. And that is a wonderful blessing. If God's allowed you to serve Him in some capacity, if God's allowed you to play a piano, or God's allowed you to teach a Sunday school class, or God's allowed me to preach and pastor this church, hey, we ought to thank God because there was a day when we were praying, God, give me something to do. I just want to serve you. I'm telling you, Caleb remembered some things. I think when we look back at our past and we see all the things that God has done for us, it makes us grateful. And when we are grateful, it is hard to be critical at the same time. That was pretty good. I like that. I think I'll say it again. When we are grateful, it is hard to be critical at the same time. I ought to be grateful for God's past blessings. I thought about Caleb had a good attitude because he remembered some things, but Caleb had a good attitude because he realized some things. Verse number 10, and he said, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Caleb kept a positive attitude because there was something he realized. He realized that not only was he blessed in the past, but he was blessed today. God had given him strength to stand here this day. Think about something with me. The fact that Caleb is even breathing was a blessing from God. Watch this. Everybody that Caleb left Egypt with 45 years ago, with the exception of Joshua, all of them are dead. Because they would not go over that Jordan and take that promised land, God said every one of them, I'm just going to kill the whole lot of them, 40 years and up. Just going to get rid of all of them. All his peers that he grew up with, all those friends that he used to have, all those neighbors that he used to live around, they're all dead, and yet Caleb, he's still breathing. Amen? Hey, he had the blessings of God, not just in the past, but he had God's blessings right now, today. I know hard times are hard, but remember, you've experienced hard times before, and yet here you stand. Amen? God has brought us through some things. I think Caleb probably that day looked around. And he saw those children. He saw those grandchildren. He saw that inheritance that was going to climb that mountain with him and inherit the promises of God. And he realized that God had been too good to him for him to be a negative Christian. Can I say before I move on, sir, ma'am, God has been too good to you for you to have the pooch mouth and be a negative Christian. Amen. We ought to be happy in the service of Jesus Christ. I see Caleb's attitude. I see this number two. Not only see Caleb's attitude, but I see Caleb's actions. Verse 12, he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Caleb's right attitude led him to right actions. The desire to press forward and go forward for the Lord burned inside of Caleb 40 years ago when he wanted the children of Israel to inherit the promised land. And now he stands here as an 85-year-old man, and there's a flame burning in his eyes as he looks at Joshua and says, "I want to go forward for God. I'm not complacent to stay where I'm at. There's something up there on top of that mountain that God has for me. And give it to me, Joshua. Give it to me, Joshua. I've got to move forward for God. I've got to go deeper for God. I've got to go on. Give me this mountain." I'm talking about his actions. Look at his condition now. Look at his condition. At Caleb's age, you would expect him to be slowing down. At this point, Caleb spent 40 years wandering in a wilderness with a bunch of backslidden baby Baptist Christians. Amen. And I know they were Baptist. I've read through the book of Exodus many times. I know Baptists when I see them. They were backslidden Baptists in the wilderness. And he wandered around with that bunch for 40 years. Then he fought in Joshua's army for another 5 years after that. And he could have easily said, "You know what? 40 years ago, things were a lot different, but I'm 85 now. I've hit my golden years, and it's time for me to just sit down and retire. I think I'll just sit back and let somebody else take this mountain." But instead of in spite of his condition, Caleb said, "I'm going to press forward, and I'm going to do something else for God." Let me tell you something. No matter what stage of life you are in, there will always be pressure to sit down and let somebody else do something for God instead of you doing something for God. When you're a kid, these kids run around in these pews, these teenagers we've got around here, you know what the devil will do? He'll come to them and he'll say, "You're too young to serve God. You got to let the adults serve God. You can serve God one day, but you can't do it right now." Amen? That's what he'll tell them. "You're too young to serve God. You need to sow your wild oats right now. You just need to enjoy life. And then one day you can settle down and then you can serve God." And so you get a little bit older and now you're middle-aged. And the devil comes by one more time when you think about serving God. And this is what he says. He says, "You're just too busy right now to serve God. You're trying to raise a family. You're trying to work a full-time job. You're trying to take care of responsibilities around your house. You've got softball and you've got choir practice that you got to get the kids to, and soccer. You've got to work overtime." And he'll begin to list out all the things you've got to do. And he'll say, "You don't have time right now. Go to church and serve God." And then you get a little bit older, you hit those retirement years, and the devil comes by one more time and says, "You know what? You've worked your whole life. You've earned this. Why don't you just sit down and let somebody else serve? You just rest for a little while." Can I say that all those things are a lie from the devil? Hey, there is never a place of retirement in the service for the God that you and I serve. You and I should always be busy, and we should always be going, and we should always be doing something for the Lord. In fact, in the book of 1 Samuel, I read about a priest. God called him to be the high priest. His name was Eli. And in his older years, you know what Eli did? He became complacent on God. He began to let some things take place that he shouldn't have let take place. And he just kind of sit down and didn't serve God the way that he was supposed to serve God. And he become lazy in his service for the Lord. And because he did, it cost him his life. It cost him his children. It cost him the glory of God in the nation of Israel. I'm telling you, there's no place, in spite of your condition, to stop serving God. I see his condition, but I see his calling. Instead of sitting down and watching somebody else serve, Caleb is just as determined as ever to serve the Lord. In fact, six times in this chapter, the Bible says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. In fact, the name Caleb means to follow like a dog. That's what that name Caleb means. Caleb was going to serve God till his dying breath. He was not going to stop going and growing in his relationship with the Lord. He was going to take this mountain. He was going to reach the next plateau. He was going to do something for God as long as he had breath in his body. You see, Caleb was to take this mountain. For Caleb, it was more than a job. It was a calling. It was something that God had given him to do. There's something about when God burns something down inside of you. Hey, I'm telling you, this man, he couldn't sit down. He couldn't give up. He couldn't quit. It meant too much to him. This was his calling, this mountain. It was his calling in life. I'm telling you, we need some people that are willing to move forward for God. Boy, I wish we had some people that approached the throne room of God and said to God, like Caleb said to Joshua, give me this mountain. I've got the desire, God, let me go forward. Boy, I thought about the fact that Abraham, according to Hebrews chapter 11, he had a move forward attitude, didn't he? God called him out of the land of Uz. Didn't even tell him where he was going. But according to Hebrews 11, he wandered around looking for a city that hath foundations. And he never found it. He never found it. But he just kept looking for it to the day he died. Just had that move forward attitude. I thought about Moses. He grew discouraged when he was leading the children of Israel. In fact, he confessed one time that it was too much for him. Yet he continued leading until the day that God showed him the promised land and called him on home. Daniel was taken captive as a boy and thrown into a den of lions as an old man. But yet he served God till his dying breath. Paul never found a place to slow down. He just kept running that race that God had set before him. And God has something for you to do. And God has something for you to do. And God has something for you to do. And let's just keep moving forward for God. Caleb had the right kind of attitude. Caleb had some good actions. But last of all, I see Caleb's accolades. Verse 13 says, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Because Caleb kept the right attitude, Caleb kept a let's move forward desire in his life. The Bible tells us now that at the age of 85, God gives him the mountain that he's been longing for all these years. His accolades. I see Caleb's gift in verse 9. He said, on that day Moses swore unto me this mountain. I believe one of the greatest blessings of serving the Lord is that you eventually get to conquer those mountains that God promises to you. Caleb's been praying for this mountain for 45 years. But he remained faithful and he kept pressing forward for 45 years. And after 45 years of praying, God finally gave him what he wanted all those years ago. Can I say to you that if you keep the right kind of attitude and you keep pressing forward for God, eventually there's going to be a Joshua 14 moment in your life. And you'll stand there before God and God will say, you've been faithful all this time. you've kept the right kind of attitude and you've kept pressing forward. And now I'm going to give you that promise that you've wanted this whole time. There's some things that people in here have been praying for. Some of y'all got children, grandchildren that you're praying over, that you're battling over. We talked about them battles this morning. You're battling for them spiritually now. You're battling for their soul. Can I say keep the right kind of attitude? Keep moving forward for God. If you keep the right kind of attitude and keep moving forward for God, who knows? One day soon you might stand in Joshua 14 and God say, here it is. I'm going to give you what you've been wanting. Amen? I'm talking about having the right kind of attitude. There's a preacher friend of mine, pastors a church in Mossheim, Tennessee. His name's John Ricketts. Y'all have heard this story. He prayed for his brother to be saved for 25 years. God finally saved his brother. I'm telling you, keep moving forward for God. I see Caleb's gift. God gave him that mountain. And I see his guarantee in verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Notice this. Caleb was confident that God was going to give him what he'd been asking of the Lord because Caleb knew that God was on his side. He said, this is my mountain. God said I could have it. And if God said I could have it, I don't care how big they are over there, I'm going to be able to take it because God's with me. I don't see Caleb worrying. Worry wasn't going to help Caleb. Caleb just trusted in the promises of God. And can I say you and I need to keep moving forward and claim those mountains that God's got for us. I read this week and I thought this was good. I'll read it to you and then we'll give an invitation and we'll close. It said he stood before Joshua with flaming eyes. Give me this mountain before I die. But Caleb, you're old and the mountain is high. Choose a peaceful spot in the plain to die. The people who live on the mountain are strong. The battle you fight will be bloody and long. His eyes never wavered as he spoke without fear. I've been promised this mountain for 45 years. And as for the people being mighty and tall, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. For it's not in my strength on which I'm counting, for the Lord is going to give me this mountain. So let's quit talking while it's light, for the Lord and I have a battle to fight. I wonder this morning while they come with a song of invitation, or this afternoon, I wonder if there's something in your life that you've been praying for, you've been struggling with. And maybe tonight God said to you, keep the right attitude. Keep moving forward. And one day you'll conquer those mountains that God has promised you. While they sing, if anybody needs to pray, these altars are open.